Hello.
Welcome to My Body Stuff. I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice.
We have a very, very special guest today.
Very special.
Very special. Shelley, could you introduce yourself?
Yes. I am Shelley Bird. I'm so excited to be on this podcast today.
Hi, Mama Bird.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
I am so happy to be here today.
So excited to have you.
All the way from the Twin Cities.
From Minneapolis, Minnesota.
It's kind of gray here today. So
it's cold here too. It's freezing.
Really?
It feels like fall is what
it feels like. It feels like we got one weekend of summer and then now we're back to fall.
I was like, that was it. Enjoy.
Was that fun?
Yeah.
Did you guys like that?
Did you like that tease? That tease of summer?
I'm glad I bought that lake house.
Get cold again.
Oh, poor you.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, I bought a lake house and it's cold.
But it's on a beautiful lake, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So when we decided to have Shelley be our guest, well, the people demanded Shelley. The people demanded her. So here she is. But when we were trying to figure out what to talk about with Shelley, I feel like there were so many topics that we could have had amazing discussions with you about. There are lots of things that I feel like would have been interesting. But you brought up a great topic that I think is so important, and I'm so excited to dive into it with you. Will you kind of introduce a little bit about this, just kind of where we're going with this podcast?
For sure. Well, so as some of you might know, but some of you may not know, I am almost 31 weeks pregnant right now.
With
another little girl, Freddie. And so I'm on this Facebook page. And the other day, it's all pregnant women, and it's actually all pregnant women who have experienced loss. But the other day, I was on this page, and there was a post on there about needing support because this woman was feeling very uncomfortable in her body, and then also it was transitioning or going into like intimacy with her partner as well. So she just wasn't feeling that way. And so I clicked on the comments to go and comment. And I there were 40 comments already when I got there. And I was sure that people were going to be like building her up and saying, it's okay. Like you're in this space right now. And every single one of the comments, 40 comments of women around the world were like just toxic. I kind of like looked at it like, It was just this really sad like depiction to me of where women were at in their bodies at, I feel like, one of your strongest and most vulnerable times. But it got me thinking about how we have worked so hard, and I like how far I've come in my body. But then also to, like, we've got a lot of work to do, friends.
We do have a lot of work to do. So when Shelley brought up this topic, I was like, yes, this is what we should talk about. And this is what we should talk about because there are a million things that we could talk about. But I think, Shelley, you have a particularly interesting story, too, with kind of your own personal journey, your own journey with Ula. And then I think everyone also wants to know, like, your journey to the Twin Cities and how you built this incredible community of amazing, amazing, amazing people who are just, you know, they're drawn to you, they're drawn to Ula.
We travel with them around the world.
These people are amazing for everything. And you guys, it's so funny whenever we do these empowerment weekends in the Twin Cities. So as you guys might know, as we've talked about many times, on Sunday everyone takes a turn teaching. And I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because it's so cute. But after everyone teaches on Sunday, everyone kind of like stops, and then they're like, burst into tears and they go, Shelley. It's like the cutest, sweetest, most. And then you just like cry back to them. And then they all it's so cute. But anyway, so do you mind if you're cool with this to kind of talk about your personal journey and why body positivity. Is that the right? Is that what you call it? Is that what this movement is?
Yeah, I think so.
Positivity.
I don't know the official name or just for like, it is. That sounds
come on, people.
Good.
Let's
come on,
do this.
People. Let's like embrace this stuff.
I think it's body beauty.
Body beauty. Oh, I love that. Body beauty. Yeah. So will you just give us a little kind of background with you and your kind of journey to where you are up to this point?
And I love how it's so integrated with your journey with Ula.
It totally is.
It totally is. I would not be here like in this space. I don't think I could have answered that post the way that I did if I wasn't, if I hadn't come so far because of where I'm at with Ula. So yeah, I am a Midwest girl. I grew up in Minnesota, and it just kind of happened that I was always larger as I was growing up. And I mean, I was in theater. I never stopped. I never let my body stop me. And I was really glad.
Did you ever feel like societal, like, I mean, like, is that like, how did you always maintain that even when the rest of the world around us is like pushing something?
Do you know what was interesting? I think for me, it was, I did have good role models in my life, but I kind of just, I saw myself in a different way than I actually, where I was in my body at that time.
Maybe you were able to see you for you.
Yeah. And I think that's part of it. And I think for me, there was always, so I've always been a singer. So that thing has always kind of made me special. So regardless of like what I looked like, there was always something that was kind of special about me that people, that I could feel like confident about. So my body, even on those days when I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't, because we all have those days, regardless of where we're at in our space. Right. On those days where I was like, oh man, or when society was, when I would just be like, oh, this person, you know, I'm attracted to this person, but I don't know if they're going to be attracted to me because of my body. Right. Sure. Like, because that, I think that's a huge thing as you're looking for a partner and you like are worried to put yourself out there. I think that I just always knew that there was something that could make me do that. And so I feel like I was very fortunate in the sense that I didn't let it define me. I never let it define me.
I love that about you. And you can feel that about you. Like, you know, you don't say that. It just seems like something you haven't actually lived or believed. Like when you say that, and when you encourage these other women the way that you do, it's like from this rock steady place where people can really like have a great model of what that looks like.
They feel the
Yeah, and you know what's actually funny? I don't think, well, to go back. So I was always larger, and then I did I was having a lot of anxiety. So I decided that I wanted to try to work out, right? Mm-hmm. And that was for me what I wanted to do first. I was starting my mid 30s, and I was like, I'm going to try to work out, and I'd always danced. And actually, Ula was my gift to myself. Once I could do something in the gym, when I could like walk at a 3.8 for 30 minutes without feeling like I wanted to die on the treadmill, I went to Ula. And this for me is the biggest thing. I don't think I really saw those societal pressures, or I would shy away from them, or I would just kind of ignore them until I started to become smaller. And then it was like a reversal for me. But for me, walking into my first Ula class, I realized for the first time when I walked into a fitness class, and I've said this at all of the empowerment weekends and anybody I ever talked to, the instructor looked at me for the first time. She looked at me like, I want you there, not, how am I going to handle this large person?
Sure.
Yeah. She was like, hi, I'm going to welcome you in. And she looked at me during class too. And once again, not checking in to see if she needed to grab the AED, but to see how I was doing and if I was having fun.
Right.
And for me, that was huge. And I don't think I realized until then how uncomfortable I actually felt in especially a group fitness setting, which is why I never went back to classes. Like I'd try them, but I wouldn't go back.
Interesting. Yeah.
And then it totally just changed my trajectory. Like I started loving it. For me, my anxiety started lifting and I felt that I had this different space that was open for me. And then my body started changing. Like I didn't go in going, today I'm going to lose 10 pounds.
Right.
And I better have it gone by the time I'm by tomorrow morning. Otherwise I failed.
Right. Yes. Interesting. So,
yeah.
Okay. So then keep going with your story.
Yeah. So then I started going to ULA more and more and more. And then the ULA studio, opened. I was actually in Missoula at that time. I should add that. I lived there and I started going to the ULA studio and then I was going like every day. And then I was like, well, maybe I should become an instructor. Because I directed and I'd always danced and those sorts of things. And then I was like stopping myself from doing it because I'm like, I'm not at this weight yet. Mm. I'm not there, which was funny because I'd never stopped myself from doing something before.
Oh, how funny. So you put sort of some
totally
imaginary parameters around
completely. I was like, once I get to this amount of pounds, then I can be a fitness instructor. Then I can be a model in front of the room. Right.
Yeah.
And then finally I was like, well, forget that. I'm just going to do it. Like the timing is right. I'm going to do it. Kaylee and Bryn actually were like, sign up. And I'm like, I'm going to sign up. Okay. I'm doing it. So one day after a 6 a.m. class, I handed my credit card down and we did it. And then I became an instructor and I started teaching and I realized that like those pieces didn't matter. And I did reach that goal weight and it was great. It didn't like, but I was no less of an instructor before I was at that weight than I was when I was there.
Yeah.
Right.
Good point.
So when you hit your goal weight, did you then drop your goal weight further? Like, did you, you know, like,
did it keep going
lower?
I did, but I didn't do it on purpose. Like there was nothing that I was like, okay, now I'm going to do this. I had this space in my mind that I was like, this is where I should be. Can I get there?
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Can I do this? And I did it. And I actually, the day that I got to it was the day that I signed my contract to be an instructor.
Oh, that's funny.
Interesting. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is.
So weird.
That's really interesting.
And then I probably maybe went like 5 pounds under it. I mean, and then just kind of stabilized out.
And
I mean, part of it for me, it wasn't diet. It was the movement. It was moving my body. And that to me, like it changed a lot of things for me,
Both
mentally and physically. It just gave me balance.
Yeah. So one of the things that I just really always have admired about you, Shelley, is that you're just so healthy. Like, I feel like you're just so healthy and you have such like a healthy approach to life. I'm bringing this up because we're listening to this podcast. We were listening to it this morning about what's his name?
David Brooks.
David Brooks.
Who's a famous political writer.
He's a political writer and he's on Oprah's podcast. And he was saying something about how success, it just like, you hit these goals and then the goal just becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's like monster thing. And like the more successful you are, like the more you aren't satisfied by it.
Mm-hmm. You just keep going.
And so that's kind of why I brought that up with weight too, because society has us believing that at least for women, the smaller they are, the more kind of worthy they are. And I think that men, I don't mean to be so generalized, but like, there's also on the other side, and I don't know if it's just a male thing. It's definitely not a male thing. But then when you think about like success, it's like more and more and more. It's like so interesting how we as humans can kind of like reach these like really cool goals, or we could do these things that are like really awesome. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, we can't just be like, I'm very proud of myself. It's like, we just have this desire to like,
or to get more.
Then it's like, oh my gosh, like, could I lose 5 more pounds?
Right.
Could I lose 5 more pounds. And then, you know, could I make a $1 more million? Could I own one more, you know? And, but I love that that was never, I love that that was never, that you didn't get hung up on that. Cause I feel like so many of us can as humans, as you know, humans. Just.
It's such a human trait too. I'm sure evolution wise, if we go back to that.
I love that you always go back to the evolution and the brain
the
stuff.
The evolution thing is, would be, that would make you very successful, you know, in a weird way. Like you're accumulating. I got the most nuts or whatever. You're a squirrel, you know.
I have big cheeks.
I've got big nuts. And you may have a lot, but I've got big nuts.
A lot of those in there.
But no, I just love that you, no matter where you got in your body, it sounds like you had like a healthy relationship to it.
Yeah. And thank you for saying that. Cause it was interesting. Like I said, then I started getting scrutiny for changing, for my body changing. And people were like, are you okay? Are you healthy? Are you eating? And I was like, I couldn't do what I do if I wasn't eating.
Yeah.
Right. Like, oh my God, I would not have been able to sustain the amount of classes or, you know, those sorts of things. And I found that so interesting because when I was larger, people didn't say that to me.
You know, that is so fascinating because I've been looking at some of these studies about weight loss and how when people have weight loss and they lose a significant amount of weight, they feel this incredible amount of pressure like you're talking about. And then they just want to put the weight back on because it's psychologically the pressure debilitating.
Sure. Well, don't you think that's the same thing for like a writer who writes a great book and they're like waiting for the next, like, are you going to be able to write another great book? It's just that pressure to like, I don't know, to keep going or to,
it's so, you know, interesting.
Well, I find that interesting too, because, and especially bringing up the author point, going back to the podcast or not the podcast, the, what I had found on that Facebook page, that post.
Yeah, right.
Going back to that post, the fact that people are, they're not looking for you to succeed or to keep, stay successful. It's like, okay, so you wrote this great book. Mm-hmm. Are you really going to be able to do it a second time?
Right.
And why do you have to do it a second time?
Right. Exactly. I did it once.
Yeah.
I can do it.
It's a good book, like enjoy.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe my life shifts. So like writing a great book isn't even possible right now. Or like, you know, I don't know.
I mean, my husband were the other night about, you know, how these great musicians or like rock bands, they have all the success like in their 20s, like they're writing these great songs and stuff. And then suddenly it seems to stop for them or whatever. And he was like, well, what do you think that means?
Right.
And I'm like, well, maybe they just transition to another phase of their life.
Well, sometimes I think about like Ani DeFranco. Shelley, I know you're a big Ani fan too. It's like sometimes Ani. I think her like angrier, older stuff is way better.
Totally. Or Liz Phair. I when Liz Phair all of a sudden came out and she was like doing more poppy stuff, I'm like, I'm sorry, who did you just become?
Totally. Well, sometimes it's like, but that's, I think, my
point about where like, she wanted more.
Yeah, like, okay, but maybe like, okay, so maybe Ani's happy and maybe Ani is, you know, married and has a kid and she did. It's just, she doesn't have all this stuff she's got to get out, you know? And so anyways, not that that has a ton to do with our topic, but I do think it's interesting. It's like, how much more do people want from me or do I need from myself in order to like accept and love and feel like, okay, that's enough.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
Very good point.
And is there really anything wrong with being a one-hit wonder? Like you still got to be a wonder.
Yes, exactly. Good point.
Yeah, right. Well, and it's like that was a great moment. That was a moment in your life that you got to experience that. But now you're going to go experience something else that's going to probably be equally wonderful if you're not
Don't
be all hook up on that fame.
When you hook up on that.
I'm so hooked up right now.
I'm so hooked up.
So let's get back to you. And then, so you get to this, like, you get to this goal weight, you're an Ulla instructor, like.
I'm feeling awesome. And the thing that I knew, so, and maybe I didn't obsess about like my weight and this, that, and the other thing is because I do try to like shift to what is my next thing, right? Like, what is the next goal that I have? And then I decided that I was going to move back to Minnesota from Missoula. And I came back to I came back to the Twin Cities. And the thing about it was I knew I had created these amazing relationships out there. Like I just have this wonderful family that mm-hmm. I have in Missoula, and I'm so fortunate to have them. And I knew that our relationships were strong enough that I would be able to maintain those. But I also knew that ULA was the thing I could not give up now. Mm-hmm. It had taken me so far and into such this space, and I'd been able to find my voice in a different way and move my body in a different way. And Music's always been really important to me. And I was able to like find not only the way to like vocalize music, but also movement, to add that movement piece to it. Mm-hmm. It really helped me to experience movement on a deeper level, or music on a deeper level.
Yes.
And I wanted to share that first of all, but I also selfishly didn't want to say goodbye to it.
Sure. Yeah.
So I came back here. We started our amazing community here, and it was just phenomenal. I met my husband, Bill, and he is just the person I was meant to be with. He's the person I was waiting for. Mm-hmm. And then I got pregnant. We got married. I got pregnant on our honeymoon. And then all of a sudden my body was shifting again. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. And here I go.
Yeah.
But I was still able to teach, and I was still able to, luckily I was able to teach through my whole pregnancy, and I felt good and I felt strong, and had our first daughter, Dottie, almost 3 years ago. Her birthday's this weekend.
Oh my God. Happy birthday.
I know. Honey. Little 3-year-old Dot. And then I had about a year, I guess, and a half that I wasn't getting, my body had shifted again. Right. Yeah. So then I'd had childbirth and my hips were bigger. Before that, even when I was larger, I never had hips.
Sure. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I was like, ooh, I've given birth to a baby and now I've got some hips.
Yeah.
Did your mind at all, like as your body was going through these changes?
Yes, it did. It totally did. Uh-huh. Because I was like, I was just like, but I worked so hard,
right?
Without even really knowing, like I worked so hard without working so hard, and now I have to work really hard.
Sure, yeah.
And I was also older, you know, 3 years older, and I was talking to my doctor. I remember talking to my doctor after I had her, and I was like, wait a second, I've still got these like 10 or 15 pounds that I can't. You know, I just, they're here.
Right.
And she was like, well, Shelley, you've got a lot of hormones going on, and you know, you've got to give yourself some grace, but you're doing all the things you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Right.
And I tried not to obsess about it, because at the same time, now I have this model who's looking at, or I get to be this role model, this body role model for my daughter.
Yeah.
And the last thing that I want her thinking as she grows up is that her body's not good enough, because I don't feel like my body's good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't go anywhere. More of our conversation after this short break.
Do you need a little relaxation, Kaylee?
Why, I think I do.
Because I've got something for you.
What's that?
A little special retreat we might be having in Tulum, Mexico in October.
I'm so excited. You guys, this retreat is awesome. I feel like last year when we went, it was one of the most amazing trips we've ever done.
Oh my gosh.
I've ever been on.
I'm looking at a picture right now as a screensaver on one of our computers, and it just brings me back. Beautiful beach, little teeny white waves.
It's just the right amount of relaxation, but also doing really important work and care on yourself in community. There's dancing, there's swimming, there's a lot of just really great local activities that we get to take part into. We hope you can join us. Go to our website to sign up or to learn more. You can always send us a message if you need more details. We hope you can join us.
We hope to see you.
So I could kind of just tried to, I've just tried to reframe those pieces when they've come in. But I would say the last year has probably been the hardest for me on my body, because really? Then in September of 2017, I got pregnant with our son. We lost him at 18 weeks. So all of a sudden I was looking in the mirror thinking, and how hard is that, right? You're a fitness instructor and your job is to look in a mirror and it's not the body that you're expecting to see. So that was a really hard thing for me. My friend, I actually, after I taught my first class back, my friend Leah Johnson, she said to me, she was like, I told her that it was really hard for me to look in the mirror, 'cause I had just lost him about a week and a half earlier, 2 weeks earlier, I think. And she was like, Shelley, you have to look at how strong you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it was like this constant, like, reframing of things for me. And then I had 4 months of trying to get pregnant again. Then I did get pregnant, went 10 weeks with that pregnancy, and I lost that pregnancy. And then a month later I was pregnant with my daughter, Freddie. So I've basically been pregnant. There's a lot going on. So I would say that this has been probably the hardest for me mentally, but at the same time, I'm so proud of what my body's doing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's where I just keep trying to get back to, you know?
Yeah.
And I still, like, I look at it, I'm like, I eat right, I'm healthy, I work my body out, the amazing things that it is doing. Like, if I get back to that space that I was before I got pregnant with my daughter, mm-hmm. even before I got pregnant with my daughter now, mm-hmm. Great. But if I don't, it's okay. Like, my husband loves me. He's attracted to me. I am attracted to him. My daughters love me, and I've been this vessel for them. And I still get to stand up in front of people and teach ULA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to look like anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, I think that's, it's the childbearing. It just really changes things around, you know? And it's like so crazy to think that we're constantly trying to get back to like some place that we were before we had these kids, you know? And I feel like this is something that society has just put this like insane pressure to get your pre-baby body back, you know, get your body back. Like it's even the way that like you phrase that, or like get your bikini body. It's like, you know, it's just like it's this thing we can like get, you know, it's like, I'm a different person.
And then I'm like, where do I find it?
Yeah. Where is it? Can I buy it?
Can I stash it in the closet?
I think I lost it along the way and I'm not sure where it is now.
Is it behind those dresses in my closet that I can't fit into right now?
Right. Is it going to bounce back? Where's it bouncing from?
Weird how we just don't honor pregnancy in our society that much. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, or aging.
No.
I think it's that same thing. It's like, you know, here we are, like women who have had babies in their 30s, 40s, and 50s or whatever. And it's like, but you have to get back. And it's like, why do I get back? I'm now an older woman.
Right.
So mm-hmm. why does my body have to look like a 20-year-old woman's body?
Right.
Yeah. And I remember, I mean, I had a conversation with Bernice after my first loss. And the funny thing about me is that I write my story, right? Like, I've always been this person who's like, I'm writing my story mm-hmm. and this is the way it's going to be. And I'm going to have my second baby before, like, by the time I'm 40.
Right.
And I even told my husband, I'm like, okay, we get pregnant. Luckily, we have been very fortunate to get pregnant very easily. And I was like, we get pregnant really easily. So we had lost ours when we were going into our second. I'm like, we need to try this right now. If I'm not pregnant by, you know, November, then we're not supposed to have another baby because I'll be 39 and I don't, you know, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And he was like, okay. And then I was like, well, here I am at 40 now trying to get pregnant again.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's not the story I wrote.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have to give that up.
Right.
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 And then I think you look at what you're talking about with society and where we're at with society and how our bodies are. It's so interesting to me too. Yeah. We don't honor pregnancy, but what we do is we scrutinize pregnant women.
We do.
We totally do.
Even more than women are scrutinized when they're not pregnant, because then it's okay to talk about a pregnant woman's body.
Well, and I would like to say that I don't know. I feel like maybe my experience was slightly different. I feel like people were like very complimentary when you're pregnant, but after you have a baby, it's all about the baby, you know? And then it's not, I mean, you know, and then you're just expected to be like, okay, like I don't know. I've got it. I've got a, I felt really great. I felt really great about myself pregnant. I actually feel like when I'm pregnant, it's the most beautiful I am ever. For me personally, that's my experience being pregnant. Yeah. But it's like the time after pregnancy, it's kind of rough on me. Like even like for me, even if I get back to like my pre-pregnancy weight, things just look different.
Oh, yeah. Because our bodies have moved.
I know. Yeah. I'm like, I weighed what I weighed before I had this baby, but it doesn't look the same.
What's on my rib cage?
You know, like things got like spread out in weird ways.
Why does it go back down? Like I'm like trying to squeeze it in. Like, come on, squeeze it back in.
Am I ever going to wear low rise jeans again? Probably not.
I don't think
I'm not. Yeah, I just the reality is no.
My underwear drawer the other day because I had underwear from when I was younger, and I'm like, I'm not going to wear that underwear anymore.
Get rid of them.
It's like little teeny low waisted hip huggers, and I'm like, hello, and I can think like. Well, the day will come when I put those on. And I'm like, you know what? The day is not going to come.
Do you like, Shelly, do you have any things that like anything that you like torture yourself with? Like, I mean, I have a pair of shorts that I torture myself with where I'm like, maybe.
Maybe.
Can I try? I have one dress that I'm like, oh, red dress. You're so red beautiful.
Red dress.
Oh, little red dress. But you're like, so beautiful. And, God. You know, and then I'm like, I can't pack it away. I can't pack it away. You know?
I mean, that's a nice one. That's like a red, that's kind of like sexy. And there's something nice about that. Mine is like a pair of shorts. You know, it's like, get rid of the stupid shorts. It's, you know, this stuff is like, it's so complicated because I feel like no matter how strong of a person you are, no matter what your belief system is, and you know, no matter how much like I truly, truly deeply believe like, you know, that the ULA, I want people to feel comfortable and accepting and loving of themselves exactly where they are. There's still a part of me that isn't fully there. There's still a part of me that if I get on the scale and I see a number that I don't like, it kind of derails me, you know, and I have to battle that internally with myself of like my belief system and what I stand for and some of the experiences that I still have as a human being who's part of, and this is, I think, where we have to give ourselves grace and forgiveness is we are still participants in an energetic system, you know, that has years and years and years and years and years of telling women what they should look like to be desirable, what we're supposed to look like, what all this stuff. And so no matter how strong I'm trying to be with my own conviction, I still get lost in all of that sometimes. It's part of a culture. I'm part of a culture, but I need to change. It's also my responsibility to be a change, to change it.
Change the culture, right. My mom was so good. She gave me a talk recently and she said, you know, I weigh the same weight I did when I was like 40 or whatever. But she was like, every 10 years, my body changes. So she's like, so if you're going to get fixated on, you know, how you were at 20, she's like, you're going to be in for you're going to be in for some hurt.
Right.
Because it's just no matter what happens in your life, if you lose weight, if you gain weight, whatever happens, the body is just going to change over time.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Well, and I think Kaylee, I mean, you bring up such a good point because it's like, no matter we get to be you, sometimes you walk in and you're like, am I a fake? Am I just faking that I really am accepting myself? Because then I look at like a pic, like we get our family pictures and I'm like, oh my God, do I look like, how do I look in this?
Right.
You know? And then I'm like, why am I caring? Like, look at me with my beautiful family.
I know. Exactly. Exactly.
And then
it's frustrating.
It is. It's totally frustrating. And I think about though, when I'm in the studio and I'm teaching ULA or I'm just in like going to ULA. And I will say, whereas you said you feel really good in your body pregnant. I feel the best when I'm in that class, when I'm in that space.
Yeah.
Because I look around and I see all of these people feeling happy and sexy and smiling. Like this morning in class, I just watched people and I know their stories. I'm lucky to know some of their stories and I know where they're at, but I just saw them like free and smiling. And I think there's not enough of that.
Yeah.
And the body doesn't matter.
Yes, so exactly.
That's what I find when we're in the midst of class, it's funny, I'll see pictures afterwards of me teaching. I'll be like, ugh.
Totally.
Why did someone tell me? Right. Your shorts look bad.
We literally just had this conversation after Ula One. We were talking about how when we're in class, we don't even see ourselves. No. We don't feel ourselves for each other. And it's you don't look at yourself and just see your physical shell of which, the most of them are very beautiful. It's not I look at everyone else and I only see beauty. I'm not trying to say I'm seeing past that because there is something beautiful about that. But it's you just see who you are as a soul. It's these souls are dancing together.
Yes.
And it is, it's just so beautiful. I don't self-critique, honestly, when I'm teaching.
I don't either.
I don't.
When I'm not.
Me neither. I really don't.
Mm-hmm. No. And it's one of those spaces where, and for me, I mean, here we are, right? I'm in my third trimester. I'm God, some days I'm I do not feel sexy. I do not feel I just feel tired right now. Mm-hmm. But in the studio, I'm oh man, I am sexy. I just feel sexy. I'm not looking at myself in the mirror. Same thing. I'm not yes, but I'm oh, I am connecting with my body in a way that feels so good right now.
Yes.
And everybody else is in that space too.
Exactly.
And it's so powerful.
I think that's the beauty of it is the one of the big pieces is you transcend the physical.
Mm-hmm. You do. Mm-hmm. You
totally.
And it's fascinating because it's, we were also saying after Ula One today, how fascinating we're doing this pretty big personal work in front of a mirror. Isn't that kind of amazing? But it's really cool because I don't know. It we're using the physical body to transcend the physical body. I find that piece of Ula completely fascinating to me.
You need to use the physical body to get there.
Yes. Yes. Which I love.
I think when we shift that mirror's job from being a tool of scrutiny to being a tool of just self-love and reflection, an actual reflection,
that's a great way to just
then we that. Can we can use it for its positive nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a great way to put it too. I think that's why we're talking about little babies or little kids looking in themselves in the mirror. And they're not seeing it as a tool for self-judgment.
No, no,
no.
It's this reflection of their happiness, their mood or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We were talking about this little 8-month-old who he saw himself in a mirror and he probably didn't recognize that it was him. And he just went up and he kissed it. And it's okay, maybe he did recognize it was him. I can't remember when they say you can whatever, but maybe he did know. And what great self-love. And let's say he didn't know, then just what open love, to just go and kiss another baby.
Without hesitation.
Without any hesitation. Yeah. And it's just so God, kids can teach us so much.
Don't go away. You've got a quick word from guess who? Us.
Are you looking for a little relaxation, Kaylee?
Why, yes, I am. Without my children?
Yes, without your children.
Sign me up.
Do you know where we're going in October, everybody?
Where?
Tulum, Mexico for a very special, magical retreat.
Oh, I can't wait. This retreat, you guys, the content is going to be different than last year, but the setup, the space, it is seriously magical. If you haven't been to Tulum, or even if you have been to Tulum, it is really like no other place I've ever been.
It
honestly.
Is. It's very spiritual, very beautiful, very magical, all the things you can imagine about the place. And you get to spend time with yourself, with these other wonderful women, and with us.
Yay!
I know, it's pretty amazing.
We hope you can join us. Go to our website to sign up or to learn more. You can always send us a message if you need more details. We hope you can join us.
We hope to see you.
You know, right before class today, it was funny because Dottie goes to daycare here and I dropped her off. And it was so fun because she walked in and she didn't even say goodbye to me. She just ran to her group of friends and these four girls just went to hug each other. Mm-hmm. And they were just all hugging each other and so happy to see each other. And I was so glad that I was walking in to go to class because I was like, I get to go do that right now too.
Oh, aww. I love that. Yeah. That's so awesome.
I get to go see my friends.
Right. So what do we do? I mean, what do we feel? How can we continue to, I don't know. Like for me, so much of, I think this, like, I do think it's a way to control women. I think it's a way mm-hmm. to keep us focused on petty, stupid shit so that we, you know, we're kind of like
money and time
and we're distracted by those things. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's what did we say with the, what does Brené Brown say? Like the biggest cause of shame for women is body image. And the biggest cause of shame for men is like being perceived as weak or something.
That's right.
We're just like, it's just such a tool for manipulation too, is this huge, like this shame piece. But I feel like once we cannot be so.
Get your bikini body on.
Like when we cannot be so distracted by just our physical self, like imagine all of the other things we could be doing with this like psychic energy. My God.
Well, can you imagine Mother Teresa, like taking off.
How does my hair look right now?
I think I look good to go into the slums today.
And save the children.
And save children.
Is there a Sephora here?
Which, you know, I mean, and that's the thing too. Like there are days where I just want to put on makeup and I want to, you know, like I just want to feel like feminine and beautiful in that sense too. Right. Like I think that we can find that balance,
surely,
but I feel like that not being our beauty right now and standards and all of that feels like it's in a sense a tipping point. Mm-hmm. And so we have to move it back to a place where it is about us celebrating us wherever we're at and acknowledging. I think it's okay to acknowledge those moments of like, man, that red dress, I should probably buy it in a bigger size if I really like it that much.
Right.
Yeah. Like it's okay. I didn't
wear it. And you always still feel just as
still feel good in it.
The number on that freaking tag was
right
number.
Right. And I think it's talking, it's having conversations like this. It is reminding, like looking at that post and seeing 40 toxic things and being the one brave person to say, you know what? I understand where you're coming from and let me help lift you up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Instead of getting lost in the vortex of the shame.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's like, I think part of it is like, part of it feels good to have like girlfriends or guy friends or whoever you can do this with, like, oh my God, me too. I feel la la la. Or like, no, like part of it, yes, just getting it out. Mm-hmm. But another part is to be like, but let's, you know, let's try to shift this, you know, like
completely.
And so for me, sometimes, you know, I'm trying really hard not to like, not to get stuck in like gossip or negative talk or petty talk, even though sometimes it feels good just to be like, oh, I feel terrible about myself. And then have a friend be like, I don't know, like commiserate or, you know, and part of it, but it's like, but another part is like, no, like, I don't want to speak those words I don't want to give those words life.
Yes.
I can acknowledge that this is maybe something that I'm struggling with, but I don't want to give this energy and this stuff more of my own energy and my life than it's worth, you know? And I think part of that is sometimes it takes some discipline and some self-control
and awareness.
Well, to come back from it so that you don't just like start spinning in it. I'd actually, you bringing that up reminded me about on the Sunday, the last time we had our empowerment weekend here, and I was wearing pants that just did not feel good to me. Like I was like, I am wearing, this is really frustrating me in my head. And I couldn't get out of my head about it. And then I think you said something about, you felt you like you were wearing unfortunate pants.
I totally was wearing unfortunate pants.
And then Leah said she felt she was wearing unfortunate pants. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. Now we've all acknowledged we're wearing unfortunate pants.
Right.
But it's okay. Like, because we only have like 2 more hours that we have to wear these pants.
Right. Exactly. And part of that is like, it's just like, okay, I'm not alone in my discomfort here.
Right.
We're all wearing unfortunate pants. But I also sometimes I'm like, you look the way you do and you feel crappy about yourself. How could you feel crappy about yourself? You know? And so part of it too is just to be like, oh my gosh, we all, no matter what we look like, no matter what size we wear, no matter what the scale says, we all have days that we, you know, that we may not feel great about ourselves. Yeah. And so part of it is just kind of like acknowledging that it's actually all just like, it's none of it is true.
No.
Right.
It's, you know, it's like trying to get like a little
metaphysical
or just like philosophical here. Like everybody's reality is different. So somebody who's like, you know, 5 feet, 90 pounds, they can be like, oh my gosh, they can see themselves and they can see their world in a completely, I mean, we look at other people
we already have a story about them.
Or we think like, oh, how could she ever have a bad day?
That's the story. Yeah. You know, we have these stories built up, not really recognizing that this is a full human being.
A full human being.
Who has all her complexities and negativities and positivity too.
What I like about our conversation from Empowerment Weekend was that we, instead of saying, I have an unfortunate ass, it was, these are unfortunate pants. I can get rid of my pants.
Totally. No, that,
and so
that's very true. But yeah, I think we're all human and I feel like Shelly, you just do, you have such a healthy way of approaching so many different situations. Like, I mean, as you know, I usually call you whenever I feel unsure about something, or whenever something kind of big or, you know, something that shakes me, I usually call you because you are a very like, grounding and calming person. Mm-hmm. And I think that you have a very healthy way of understanding and looking at the world. And so I appreciate that about you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I feel the same way. I mean, we support each other, and that's really, I think what all of this comes down to is being there.
I feel like I can get
each other
caught up more in stupid shit than you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you should ask my husband about that.
Yeah, you do.
No.
I do. I feel like my mind kind of spins out a little bit. But
then when I'm spinning, I go to you.
You barely spin out ever. You never spin out.
Well,
there are days that we spin.
You spin out. You spin out on stuff that doesn't make me spin out.
That's why it's good to have.
I think that's why you have friends.
Yeah, that they offer balance. Like, you know, I think it's okay that your toaster doesn't work or whatever. Like, that's not going to be the end of the world.
Yeah. Totally.
You know, for me, that's like I couldn't get that to work, and now I guess my day is ruined.
Right.
Well, and to be a net, like to be able to be somebody's net. But also to know that they are yours too, to fall into when you need it.
And
like, I will say that I could not, there is so many things in the last 6 years, 7 years of my life that I have moved through that I would not have been able to move through. Had I not had Ula to literally move my body through them.
Oh, God.
But also if I wouldn't have had like the people that I do, that I dance with, that you guys, if I hadn't had them, I would just feel like I was lost.
Right.
So thank goodness you have that net that like just catches you when you need it, when you are spinning or you're falling.
And this ultimately brings us back to the beginning of this podcast, which I think the goal is we need to lift each other up.
Exactly.
Yep,
we need to lift each other up.
Yeah. Well, and I think that self-care and self-love and self-empowerment and all this stuff, it's really, really important. But I think one of the reasons why Ula works is because we do it in community. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly what this is. Like, some of this stuff is really hard to do alone.
Oh, yes. And we're not meant to do it alone. We're social creatures.
Right.
This isn't, our paradigm is not aloneness.
Right. Well, and one of the things that we're kind of exploring with this next round of workshops, one of we have this thing where it's like the individual within a tribe. You know, and how like tribe gives security, and there's like, you know, it kind of tells you what to do and what's right and how to live and blah, 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 blah. But we as Americans, we really value the individual and how there's, you know, the pros and cons of that, and how, gosh, we need our people. We need our people. Yeah. We need our people. Mm-hmm. And yes, we have this whole like, I've got to do this on my own, but ultimately we do need each other to do this work. And I think what you did in that Facebook group, I hope those women took it to heart. I hope that those women read your comment and let that actually sink in instead of all just, you know, there's one thing in support and there's one thing in all just kind of festering in yuckiness. And I hope that your comment helped to bring them up a little bit or help to see it in a different way.
And that shaming doesn't work, folks.
Self-shame or shame.
Shaming others. It's not a motivator. It rarely motivates people.
Right.
We all know.
It works. I mean, it's shame is powerful, but shame it usually doesn't have a positive.
It doesn't have a positive impact. Yeah. It's not like the woman's going to turn around and feel good about herself or do anything different.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So.
Well, Shelley, we are so glad that you could join us on this podcast.
Thank you for letting me be on the podcast. You guys, it feels so great just to chat with my friends and
I know. We're so, I can't wait to see you in a few months and to meet you.
I know.
Freddie
Bird.
So great hearing your voice, Shelley.
You guys too.
Okay. We love you.
Love you.
Love you too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.